Podcasting 2.0 for September 11th, 2026, episode 270. YOLO guy. Hello, everybody. Did you miss us? You did? I thought so. Hey, it's time once again for Podcasting 2.0. This is where the future of podcasting is discussed, sometimes made, and you might even see us write it from time to time. Everything you need to know, everything you want to do better is right here. We are the board meeting, and we are the only board meeting that runs entirely on Omachi. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who gave everyone a new identity and called it scary stuff. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, the pod sage. It's Mr. Dave Jones.
Speaking of
Omachi. There's no R in Omachi.
Omachi. This is that's very Japanese. Omachi.
Yeah. Omachi. I think it is a derivative of some Japanese thing.
The when you crank up, pre-show, I was needing to jack you.
Yes.
So
I need a jacking, baby. Yeah, you jack me.
And so, have you seen the little audio slider?
Oh, the widget
messaging.
The widget in Omachi.
Yeah, and yeah. It's like when you slide it, it gives you. Like, I don't know, summaries of how loud it is. I don't know why this is necessary, but it's like, 85. At 45% volume, it says easy listening. No. And 55%, it says steady groove.
I haven't actually used that widget. I know it's there. I just clicked it to see it. I'm not going to move anything because I'm afraid that'll screw something up.
It says 77% says cranked up. And then 80 or above says party mode.
Well, remember, this is an opinionated operating system. And
I don't know why you have to be opinionated about the description of how loud a thing is.
Does it really bother you? Is it a real problem? No,
it does not bother me at all.
Now, are you using my fork of the Rodecaster pipe wire tool?
Today is the first day that I've even turned the Rodecaster on since the Omachi.
Okay.
Since I paved this machine with Omachi.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
The answer to that is no. Negative.
All right. Well, it's working fine.
But sounds I will. Good. But yeah. I will.
I mean, it's just really handy because then you could do a lot more and then you get just new controls. But this actually looking at this control panel, that's actually not bad. I'm kind of digging what if I do this.
What do you mean? What control panel are you talking about?
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. What's happening here? This Omachi control panel.
Oh, you're talking about the audio panel?
Yeah.
It's quite robust.
Oh, the whole OS is quite robust. Thing is great. Especially this Quattro. Omachi Quattro. It's good.
Is that that must be the one I've got, I guess. How do you?
Yeah, no, you do. See. You do. You have it. You have it. That widget is a feature of Quattro.
Okay, it's listing Omachi 4.0.3-1.
So now you need to get the Currycaster, also from my GitHub, and you can do your own podcast. You won't need me anymore. You can just, it'll all be good to go, set, perfect, but, bingo, but, boom.
But I wouldn't have you. You're not on the GitHub. It's just your software.
Yeah, but, you know, in case you want to do a show with somebody else, you know. You got some spare time somewhere, no doubt.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, it's from the hours of 10 o'clock at night till 6 o'clock in the morning when I wake up. Yeah, I'll just figure out some way to automate that. I mean, I've tried Omachi before, and I've tried Arch. I've tried every Linux distro, and
yeah,
I've got every Linux distro in my life. Back to, I mean, I've got Ubuntu 12 servers. I've got Ubuntu 18.
You have these servers just laying around, just ready to go?
Running.
Just plug them in. Running. You got Mint?
Yeah.
Do you have Mint running somewhere?
No, I don't have Mint. No. I've had Mint, though. I've had Mint. Yeah. I've had Pop! OS. I've had every flavor of Linux back to Red Hat 5.2 was my first Linux.
Oh, yeah.
And
Remember when we had to build the kernel?
Oh, I used to build the kernel all the time.
Yeah.
Because, see, there's two uses for building for building the kernel.
Both are for torture, but okay.
Well, three. There's three uses for building the kernel. One is to break in a new processor. So you heat cycle your processor to get that thing broken in. The next one is if you actually need to do real work and change something, like a kernel driver or something like that, that's always fun. And the third and most important reason to rebuild the kernel is for when you're in your day job at the office and somebody, and you have nothing to do and somebody walks by your office, you need that thing scrolling across the screen to make it look like you're doing work.
I'm doing important work here.
Yeah. It's like, have you seen Hacker Typer? Do you know this?
Yes. Yeah. That looks really good, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's Hacker Typer. Yeah.
Is that on Omachi as well?
Oh, I don't know. I just know it's the website.
I think it's built in there somewhere. So what do you think? I mean, and I know you've used tiling window managers before. What do you think? Are you digging it?
Yeah, I'm trying. Whenever I try a new distro, I try to do it the distro's way, the way that they want it.
Opinionated. You're opinionated.
Yeah, I want to follow the paradigm that they said. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that you can
get the full experience.
Test it out. And like with Nix OS, I went in raw.
Raw dogging Nix.
Bareback into the Nix OS ecosystem. We're just editing the config file and running Nix OS rebuild.
Hardcore. Yeah.
And I've still got that server running. It's doing some stuff. But so I'm trying to, I've used tiling window managers before, but I'm trying to do this in like, I'm trying to keep my hand off the mouse. It's hard.
Oh, see, this is what I love about Omachi. Because I've been a keyboard guy all my life. I'm a Vim guy, which is, you know, now is NeoVim, which NVim, which I like a lot. I dig it. I mean, I'm a workspace master. Boom, workspace. Boom, move the windows. You know, super key shift arrow. Super key J.
See, that's what I'm trying to get used to. Is how do I flip? Because I feel like the right thing to do is to not try to cram a bunch of windows onto one screen, but keep flipping them between workspaces.
Well, here's another cool one. So if you're if you have a window highlighted, you do super key O, and then it pops it right into the middle of your screen, and you do super key O again, and it goes back into the tile. So you can just pop something instead of doing super key F, which makes it full screen. You can just make it kind of float in the middle.
No, I should. That's. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Are you doing it right now?
I did it by accident the other day.
Okay, wash your hands then if you just did it now.
I've got sanitizer. Hold on. I know you can just install a tiling window manager, but it's got to be installed on something, so it might as well be this.
Yeah.
I do like Omachi for one reason is, and I literally have done every Linux distro. I've done LFS, the Linux from Scratch project. I've done all of it.
Yeah.
And one thing that always annoyed me about almost every distro is that you would install it, and then there was always a few sort of critical things that were missing.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Yeah, like unzip.
Yeah, all these little critical things. Yes, I know. Of course, I know exactly what you mean. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to install it. And then you're missing dependencies. And then, you know, it's like, oh, and eventually, recompile your kernel.
Yeah, I'm like, I install a fresh Ubuntu and then I have to do sudo apt-get, unzip, install unzip. Yeah, I'm like, really? We can't put unzip in it.
Does it actually come on Omachi? Let me see. Unzip.
I don't know if it does or not. It probably does. Now that I've said it probably doesn't.
It does. Yeah, it does. It's right there.
And this already had Pi on it, which I'm a hardcore Pi user now.
It has a whole, your agents are kind of built into it. So you can track all your different agents and their usage while they're running. Then you can use Herder. Oh, Herder.
So are you using Herder? Are you using that?
I'm not using it, but you could. I'm not using it because I don't, I've learned my lesson. I don't want my agents talking to each other. Nuh-uh. Before you know it, they're emailing Dave.
This has happened. Yes.
So no.
Did you get the email from Jason at Podcast Guru about his top secret project?
I don't get any of that stuff.
He was supposed to send you an email about it's agent related and he's got a top secret project.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't love me like you love me. He loved me no long time.
He sent me an invite and I said, you need to send Adam one. He's like, yeah, I'm on it.
I didn't get an invite. Oh, an invite.
It's probably your spam firewall.
An invite for what?
For the top secret project.
Jason. No. I don't know where that would go. I think
you would like this. I think you would like his tool. It's really cool.
I'm not interested in anybody's tool in the podcasting 2.0 system. I just want their code.
Code. Just give me your code. Just send your code.
Don't show me your tool.
No water. Just send me your code.
Well, today
everything's down. I heard.
What do you mean everything's down?
Everybody's stats are down. All the podcasters. James and Sam were talking on today's episode that across the board everybody's had a huge drop.
Oh, the numbers. Because I did listen to some of the show. Only to hear if they talk about me, obviously. I mean, why else would I listen? And I think that was PodTrack. Was it PodTrack that reports everybody down?
That's what they were saying, yeah.
Yeah, so that doesn't mean everything's down, everybody's down. It just means that PodTrack has changed something. Because, you know, the statistics in podcast land are so reliable.
I don't know. I mean, it would not surprise me at all. Would it surprise you if those numbers were accurate?
If they were accurate, it would surprise me, yes.
Really?
Yeah. No, I'm saying if any podcast statistics were accurate, I would be surprised. What I'm saying. Yeah.
I believe you on that. I'm with you on that front. I guess what I'm saying is it wouldn't surprise me if the numbers truly are down across the board this year.
You really? Oh, I don't know about that. I mean,
we're in the middle of there's no political, hardcore political cycle.
What are you talking about? Right, the midterms are everyone's going nuts over the midterms.
Nobody cares.
Oh, no, I disagree. People care. People think the world is on fire.
I have yet to see a single political ad I've yet to hear a single political ad on any podcast that I listen to. And I listen to plenty of podcasts from big networks like iHeart and Acast and all those kinds of things. The only ads I ever hear are for BetterHelp and like stuff like that.
Well, I mean, so there's no political ads, but there's definitely news that people are talking about that people are interested in.
But all the political podcasts are driven by ads.
No, that's not true. They're driven by political news and you know, Trump. That's what they're driven by.
But they don't want to get paid. They don't want to get paid.
Yeah, but they get paid. No, I don't think that's one for one. I mean, no, I don't think so. I think there's plenty of stuff. We've got a war in Iran. We've got a war in Ukraine. We've got General Scott Bessent walking around like he's going to kill everybody with his finance weapon. We've got Trumpapalooza in Dallas. We have the oil prices. The gas is too high. My wife said, but she was irritated with me, so that's okay. We had jet lag, so you know. And then she went out. She got groceries and got gas, and she comes home and says, I paid $100 to fill up my car. Thanks, President Trump. And I knew she was. I know she was trying to get a reaction out of me. Did it work? No. wisely. I'm like, that's funny.
That's just the way things are going to be for the rest of our lives. Is every every new president, there's going to be people putting the little sticker on the gas pump that says, I did this for that guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's just a new way of life.
It's true. It's true.
But I don't know. I mean, I have no way to prove anything. But I really, I don't know. I get a sense that things are down. I don't know. Just from, because I've been deep in the bowels of the index for weeks now.
Well, yes. In fact, on my list here to discuss is the scary stuff you put in the podcast identity table.
Yes.
And well, you said it was scary, and you know, I feel a little bit out of it because I was in Rotterdam for almost 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And not really looking at anything at all, which was
good,
except for my granddaughter. I was just getting spit up on. I was changing diapers. I'm laughing. You know, she's laughing at me. I'm laughing back. You know, she's like, she's interested in my beard. I'm sporting a little beard now. It's new.
It's new. Okay.
It's new. Yeah. And, but I, you know, so I just, every time I do a check of stuff, it's CNBC, podcast index.social, Google News, X. And so I, you know, and I'm always monitoring what you and Spurlock say.
I know why you think that everybody's all jitty about politics stuff is because you see X.
I see Google News. I mean, I see everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the.
But you have to understand,
like on the. I'm talking about on the street, but, out here on these streets.
On the streets, people, it's all about it, man. But you just don't know it. Okay, I'll give you an example. There's a 10% chance AI is going to kill everybody.
the latest IPO.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's. I love Spurlock's, saying anthropic marketing is like an advent calendar, which we open another door, a window every single day until we get to the IPO. And, what's behind it today? I thought that was just a brilliant, that was just a sheer brilliance. I'm using it. I'm not going to credit him. I can pretend it's my own. It's
great.
Really good. But it's multiple things. Actually, I got a, hold on a second. Where is the?
Yeah. You get up, you're in your jammies. You open the little door on the advent calendar and it's today. Mythos is going to hack a Fortune 500 company. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I like this. So this guy who no one ever heard of, who quit Anthropic and says, oh, here it is.
I read that thing. That thing's hold on. Goofy. Listen.
Kill all humans. Kill all humans.
What is that from?
I got a whole bunch of kill all humans.
Okay. I will destroy humans.
I just got a bunch of kill all humans. This is Futurama.
Kill all humans.
That's right.
So I read that and right away I'm like, okay, this is one of three things. And I think this will be proven right. One, man, we're so awesome. The stuff that Anthropic is doing, it's so far ahead. You're going to want to invest in us. Totally true. Two, we want government regulation of all models so this open source stuff doesn't get away from us. Hugging Face needs to go away. We can't have that. Three, and this was the one that was most interesting, because this guy, he was on CNN, MSNBC, NBC, Fox, all with the same message. And they literally were saying, they're begging for regulation. Well, of course, because they have no moat around this stuff. We've talked about that. And the last one, and this is the political angle, Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders and all the Democrats are coming out. Boy, and Tallarico here in Texas. Well, the Republicans, they're risking your life. They don't want to do anything about it. They're supporting these people. They're taking PAC money from them. You've got to vote Democrat if you don't want to be part of the 10% that die. So it's all political and it's all around the midterms. And by the way, if you look at the exact quote, I think, was there's a 10% chance that AI will, you know, will kill all humans. That was pretty much the quote. And then immediately you got Anthropic guys who still work there coming out saying, oh, yeah, that's possible. That's true. So this was a clear setup. clear setup.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But I think if you flip it, I think there is a large possibility that AI will kill 10% of all humans. That I really believe. You know, 1% will be egged on to suicide themselves. That's that's going to be, there's a million people a year by Anthropic's own PR marketing who have had a conversation about killing themselves with their chatbot. So chatbot, so that's 1% right there. I think there is a high probability that many people will die because of a doctor accepting diagnosis from their chatbot. I think that, so you're probably now at 3%. There's going to be automated systems in traffic and vehicles, and that's just going to cause 3% death. No doubt about it. So what are we at now? 7? I'm going to get to the 10% pretty quickly.
Yeah. You just need another 3% from somewhere. There's a margin of error too. So you may only need to get to 9 and then you get 10 for free.
You know, people trying to fix their home wiring, they're going to get electrocuted and die.
With their car.
Yeah.
Their
like, brakes. Oh, my chat. Yeah. My, exactly. Fixing my brakes, doing my own stuff. I think that is absolutely a possibility. Now, that amount of people will die anyway from stupid stuff and stupid technology. But no, so it's all political. All of it's political.
So on the podcast, on the refactor, on the database refactor.
Wow, hard left turn. Okay.
No, it's not a hard left turn. I'm doing a connector.
Oh, we've got yarn between these two dots on the board.
Yes, I'm splicing, because what I was going to say is when it comes to agentic coding versus hand coding, man, I think I'm waving the white flag. I think I just give up.
What do you mean you give up? You're going to do it? You're going to use it?
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is I have been using it. Like, I don't think I've written any code in... Like, I don't think I've written a line of code by hand.
I just heard Paul cry. Paul Bailey is crying somewhere. He's crying. Yeah. Well, welcome to the dark side, Dave. Welcome. We've been waiting for you. I've been here developing actual products for customers for 2 years. Welcome.
This, and what did it to me was this podcast Index Refactor. Now, man, I don't even know really what to think about these things, but this refactor has been so intense, and it touches literally every function almost in the API code base. Mm-hmm. It touches everything from the database schema down to every API endpoint, all the base level internal API calls, all the data export. This would have probably been a year of work for me by hand, and I would have had tons of episodes of breaking things along the way.
And agita.
What?
Agita.
What is that?
Agita?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, hold on a second. Wait. The box is here. I got to go. Hold on. Stand by.
What just happened? Oh, okay. I don't know what just happened, but I'm standing by. The box. This must be like a new... I wonder if this is sort of like some kind of new AI box or something. It can't be a DGX, though, because those things are stupid expensive now. When RSS.com donated the DGX to us a few weeks ago, or I don't know how long it's been now, a couple months, it was like $3,500. That same box today is $6,000. It's outrageous how much the price inflation is.
All right. I have the box.
What is this? What is this box?
I'm sorry. This is the Asus DX10 128 gigabyte.
A GB10? The GX Spark clone?
Yes. Yes.
That's what I'm running here at the RSS gave us.
Yes. Well, this was given to me by Eric Timmer, who lives in Austin. I think, did I tell you the story?
No, I don't think so.
No, so Eric listens to No Agenda. He listens to Podcasting 2.0. He says, hey, man, I got this box gathering dust over here, and I don't really use it, so why don't I just send it to you? So what is it? He says it's the Asus GB10, you know, with the Grace chip and the... what?
Oh, and I'm like, that's the real deal, yeah.
Yeah, and I had to sign for it because he insured it. This is this guy. I'm blown away by his kindness.
That so what I was saying while you're gone is that the okay here it is on
it's the GX10 not GB10 it's GX10
yeah GX10 yes yeah. Grace Blackwell too
yeah
the GX10
desktop AI supercomputer.
It's
calm down, people.
That is a $6,000 computer.
Well, he bought it for. $3,500
probably the original price.
$3,000 Yeah.
Yeah. That's what
I saw today is $6,200.
Yeah. It's these things are out on Amazon right now. I'm looking at it $6,199.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's like Christmas in September.
So I can send you the, I can send you my, Llama CPP. Settings for this.
Thank
you. I feel like are dialed in now.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But mm-hmm. my robot has already prepared for everything. Okay. We're going to build a lot of things from source because, you know, there's not always an ARM version available and we have to go to the PyTorch CUDA. Mm-hmm. How's your CUDA doing?
I don't know. It just sits there in CUDAs all day. I don't know what exactly it's doing. It's CUDA.
Yeah, no, but I already have, I've got my whole architecture mapped out. I know exactly okay. What I'm going to do. But thank you. Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Just send that to me. It's good.
So, I mean, part of this is that this refactor has been so intense. Originally, I'll just walk you through the process here. In the very beginning, I've known that we needed to do this for a very long time. And originally, I was just, Podcast Index is not a team of coders. It's just, as far as I'm talking about the API.
Right.
When it comes to the API.
It's Dave.
It's just me.
Dave.
I can't. And it's hard to make it be any other way because when you actually work in a decent if I fully open source the entire thing and was accepting pull requests and that kind of thing for the API, it would take even longer to get any changes made.
Sure,
because that's a slow process.
Mm-hmm.
So in the past, I've open sourced parts of the API, like the low level functions and that kind of thing, just because I want it to be open, but I don't think it's fast enough to work in a sort of a group mentality with this.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always just done it myself. And because of that, I don't have anybody to talk things out with. I don't have eyeballs on this.
Right. Now you have your agent friend.
He's not my friend. This SOB is not my friend. I can promise you that. So when I first started it, what I was saying was, I was just doing brainstorming sessions to try to map out the process because it literally is just it touches everything.
Hmm.
So I was just coming up with basically planning documents and that kind of thing. And then the more I got into it, it's it had the plan that it came up with for doing the database schema refactor of adding the podcast table and that kind of thing. I just said, okay, we'll just, you know, go ahead and do and write that SQL for me so that I can get that out of the way. And then it's basically like, do you know Charybdis from the Odyssey? The massive whirlpool, you know, that sucks you in. This is what happens.
Yeah.
You get into the sphere, you know, you get into the proximity of Charybdis and it just sucks you in to the whirlpool. and before it's over, you know, 2 months have gone by and you haven't written any code. And that's where I've ended up. Now I still look at the code because this is a code base that previously that already existed, and in my head I have a full mapping of exactly the way this entire framework functions.
Right, but you no longer know how it works.
This is part of it. We're talking about two things here. We're talking about the podcast index refactor itself and the agentic coding side of this. And, you know, there's this thing that happens where there's multiple levels, I think, of keeping, if you talk about, quote, keeping the architecture in your head, unquote, I think there's multiple levels of that.
Oh, that's interesting, because I have the architecture of what I vibe coded completely in my head. I know exactly how all the pieces fit together. I really do. How those pieces actually work, not so much.
Because that's where I was going. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think most coders eventually start, you know, they're working on a very large code base.
You start abstracting everything until something breaks. Then you need to go into that one particular module. You got to sit there. You got to light up another smoke. You got to have another cup of coffee. And like, oh, how did this thing work again?
Yeah, you can easily keep the big picture in your head, but the smaller pictures within the big picture tend to get kind of fuzzy.
Yeah,
because there's not just the big picture and then the micro details. There's multiple layers all up and down that spectrum, and it's sort of like that the lost in the middle problem. You know, with context, the very first prompt you asked tends to be retained, and then the last question, the most recent question you asked, tends to be retained. But a bunch of stuff in that middle tends to get lost. That I think that applies with human effort in this circumstance as well. We can keep the big picture in our head, and we can keep sort of the last thing we did in our head, but there's a lot of things along the way that just kind of like fade in and out of clarity.
Mm.
And that makes we can recover that clarity, but it requires a lot of time and attention.
Ooh, ooh.
Boats.
Ooh, ooh. What we get? 777. Okay. Thanks, Salty Crayon.
Thank you, Salty Ground. So it's like, you know, Wendell Berry died, was it last week? I think it was last week.
I know this name from somewhere, but I can't pinpoint it.
He wrote a fantastic, he wrote many great things, but the book of his that I've been reading the most over the last year or so is a book. It's a collection of essays called Life is a Miracle. It's a wonderful book. He's just a true American philosopher. He's fantastic. I encourage anybody to get that book and read it. But he talks a lot about art. I remember a long time ago used to talk about code as art.
Mm. Yeah, which I believe it is.
Well, he said all art, let's see, this is a quote from one of his essays. He says, All art that rises above competence insists upon the irreducibility of its subjects, its materials, and its finished works. It makes things that are inherently valuable in themselves and are not interchangeable with other things. To a merely competent carpenter, one sound board may be pretty much the same as another, but to a fine carpenter or a cabinet maker, every board is unique. The better artist a woodworker becomes, the more aware he or she becomes of the individuality of the boards and of the differences between them. The increase of art accounts for the increase of perception. And I think code never was that thing, or it was only that thing in a super rare circumstance. I think you were right about code as art. 100% you were right. But I think what the real way to say it would be, code can be art in the hands of a true artist, a true code artist.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who and there's so few people like that. I'm not that person. I never have been.
I know. I've seen the Freedom Controller.
Okay, that's fair. See, that's fair.
Kind of a low blow.
That's fair. Because everything I do ends up with just round after round after round of not just bug fixes, but absurdly ludicrous bug fixes. Mm-hmm. Bug fixes that a true code artist would never make.
Mm.
But I'm just not that guy. And well, most people are not that guy.
If we just do a comparison. So when you hear an AI generated song, mm-hmm. which you hear, you know, you can hear it. You can still hear it. A lot of people don't. You know, we got a lot of women on the text groups here in Fredericksburg. Oh, look at this song. This woman is so phenomenal. And then Tina will say, yeah, it's great. It's AI. And then, oh, I hate it. It sucks. It's no good. I believe that code is probably at the same level as AI music. It sounds good. It's perfectly played. It has the right construct. If you really look at it, you know, if you know that it's AI, it's vibe coded, then it's no good. But it is. It is. And it is art unto itself. It's stolen. It's stuck together. But it works. And it's a toe tapper.
It is. I know we know true code artists. Paul.
Yes.
John, you know, Spurlock.
Yes.
Alex Gates.
Yes.
Eric PP. Yes. We know people like this. That is not who I am, and that is not who most developers are. Most developers are somewhere in the middle between competent and good. Somewhere in that range. And for those people, just like somebody who's framing a house, the fine details of which board to choose is just not a thing that you can think about. You're not going to know enough to really know. Like I recently had an experience where a guy that I client that is the father of one of the girls on the climbing team with my daughter at the rock climbing gym. This guy is a master woodworker. People hire him to do like $25 million beach front mansion, you know, wine rooms and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I mean, this guy is top of the heap and very selective client base, you know, high dollar. And his stuff is unbelievable, but he's also an extremely nice guy. And so I was doing a project to replicate some molding in our old house here. And he was like, yeah, come over to the shop. I'll help you. And so I go over to the shop. I've done woodworking plenty of times in the past. I get to his shop and I've got.
When you realize boards. I've never really done woodworking.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. This guy, he's like, okay, well, the first thing you need to do is we need to map the way this grain is going so that when we send it through the planer, it's got a
your buzz.
We want, yeah, no, this is weird.
Move the chocolate.
I don't know how to, there it goes again. Okay.
That's good. Okay.
It's going through the planer with the grain in the right direction. And then we end up with, we've got like hand planes out running down the, it came out so gorgeous. I would have never even known to ask the questions that he asked. Mm.
So you got to bring it back to the work you're doing on the index.
Okay. You feel me fading. This is what, yeah, is what you're,
well,
saying.
You're sorry. Doing the weave, man.
Okay. Sometimes I weave so hard that I don't ever come back. This is a fair,
weave
a fair
back.
Criticism.
Weave it back. Okay. I'm just the ref here.
Okay.
Offsides, Podsage.
So in this process, I start going and I'm getting deep, more and more dependent on this plan that the AI thing wrote.
Oh, you still do plan mode?
No, well, I'm not plan. No,
YOLO, baby. YOLO.
It wasn't plan mode technically. It was the brainstorming.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And the plan that it developed was, it was after a couple of days of reading it, it was clearly the correct plan. And the problem is, it was so complex that it would have still taken me like a year to do it. And so I start letting it do piece after piece after piece. And so then, and I'm reviewing, because this is an established code base, this is a fairly easy process. I'm reviewing the code as it goes in, and it's been happening over the last few weeks in phases. And the first phase was just updating the database schema. And I had to have just a couple of momentary downtimes on the index for that to happen. Like maybe, you know, 5 minutes. And then the schema created the podcast table, an audit table, and a merge candidates table. So the way that it works is the podcast table does have a reference in it to the feed ID of the feeds table.
So that'll be the GUID or the identity?
This is where it gets confusing. Mm. The podcast table was seeded from the feeds table. And this is relevant. I'm laying all this out because people who consume our output, whether it's the public data sets like the weekly feed dump or whether it's the full database export in JSON format, there you'll need to be aware of this because new things are going to show up in those data sets. So
that's going to be my question, is the conflict queue, but maybe we're not there yet.
Well, yeah, we're going to get there in a second.
Okay.
So the podcasts table was seeded from the news feeds table, from the feeds table, so that the initial batch of IDs would match. So they track one for one. So No Agenda is 41504 in the news feeds table. It's also 41504 ID in the podcast table.
Because we're awesome.
Yes, because it's because
there's one feed.
That made sense. So initially everything got seeded that way.
Yeah.
And then, but that's not the way it's going to stay.
No.
The way it's going to be moving forward is, and the whole point of this project is, you just have three feeds that are truly just the same podcasts.
Yeah.
Those, there will be a merge thing, that will be a merge process that happens. And then that pot, and then let's say it's podcast ID 12345 may actually reference news feed table ID 27626.
Right. Okay. But how, I'll keep going. I'll save my questions for later.
So that process of creating the phase one of creating the database schema that will hold this information and tie everything together. Then you had the next phase two, which was the ingestion pipeline. So every function in the API that consumes a podcast feed, so brings one in and adds it to the feeds table, now creates the feed entry in the feeds table and a podcast entry in the podcast table, and also does a batch of checking to see if it's a duplicate in any way. And if it is, it puts it into the merge queue.
There it is.
So it sees it as a queue, as a merge candidate. Mm-hmm. It's possible that this is the same feed based on a set of heuristics, whether the GUIDs match, whether the feed URL, whether the feed content matches based on a set of
criteria. The iTunes ID is, I'm sure, is part of that.
Possible, yes. Just the straight up title of the pipe. So these are all. It's trying to decide: could this possibly be a match for something? And then when it finds a possible match, it creates a merge candidate entry. Mm. And then there is a separate. And so that was sort of phase two. Is now we've got the database function. We've got the database schema in place. And also all the ingestion pipelines are now creating a podcast table entry where appropriate. The next phase was doing an initial duplicates pass and also changing the exports, the public data set exports. Those are going to now contain the podcast table ID as well. So you're going to have, and remember, the goal of all this is to have no existing podcast interrupted or changed in any way.
Right.
So that podcasting 2.0, which is 920666, is going to continue to be 920666, even after this, all this is done. And so you're going to see the podcast table ID along with the feed ID in there. And in the future, there's also going to be extra columns for the audit history. And one of the goals of this project is to make it where we can track a podcast over time so that we can look back for any podcast. Let's say that it's, Everything Everywhere podcast, the history podcast. Mm-hmm. So we could look back into that podcast's history and say, okay, it used to be hosted on Libsyn, then it moved to Buzzsprout, then it moved to Captivate, then it moved to. So we can just see the whole lineage of this podcast, and also know where it's supposed to be now, what its canonical feed.
Okay, now pop me to the top of the stack. So now my podcast has this, it has a podcast ID. What do you call it exactly?
Yeah, just a podcast ID.
Podcast
identifier.
Okay,
identifier.
I have a podcast ID. And for whatever reason, there's three different feeds. And it's pointing to one that is being updated because someone hijacked that feed. But that's not the one that is my actual feed. And I want my podcast ID to point to the correct feed. How do I interact with the index to get that done?
You will interact with it in the same way that you always have through the dashboard.
Oh, okay. So nothing gets done. I got it. Okay.
That's for manual review. So the good thing about this new process is that the podcast merge candidate queue table.
Oh, wait, this is actually going to be good because then when people say they send an email and says, this is wrong. This is the wrong feed. That should be this feed. I will go into the dashboard, it'll show me all those feeds and I select the one that is the correct one instead of that whole rigmarole of merging and everything in the dashboard.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
So if all of this goes to plan, which is a big if,
yeah. I love it.
By the time somebody emails us and says, hey, I've got blah, 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 can you fix this? The merge candidate queue should already have identified the problem and is giving you the choices of how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
That's worst case scenario. That's when a human has to get involved. If I think many of these cases, 75% of them, can just be automatically conflict resolved.
Ooh. And the rest will be done by Clippy.
No, Pottybot.
Pottybot, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going to write Pottybot. Pottybot's going to be something that's, it's going to be running on this big honking box, Pottybot.
Well, that's phase five of this plan, is Pottybot.
Well, okay, so can I just interject something?
Yes.
Because we still have a big problem, and this comes down to heuristics and your robot there. A lot of feeds are being removed because I believe they are deemed to be AI generated or something, and they get removed from the index. Is there a process running that is checking this stuff and is removing stuff because it thinks it's generated by AI?
I have not been run during this process for the last probably 2 weeks. I have not run the AI classifier at all.
Okay. The reason why I ask, I'm just inserting this for entertainment value, Dave.
Okay.
There was a request that came in and someone said, hey, why is this BPTS podcast been taken down? Okay. So the person gives me an RSS feed. I'm like, okay, it's marked dead. It's not dead. Mm-hmm. It's marked dead. And I go listen to it. I'm like, this is what it sounds like.
Well, you know what they say. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, you just might find. You get what you need. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
This is a real person speaking, but
with a voice.
Through a vocoder or something or whatever it is. And I'll fast forward a little bit here.
Okay.
At the end of the day, really, I mean, what are we? Who are we?
Now, the thing that amazed me is that there's a fan out there who was like, hey, this podcast, I listened to this podcast and it's not on the index. I'm like, wow. Okay. I just wanted to say that there's stuff out there that I would deem completely unacceptable as a podcast, but someone's listening to this and likes it. And I want to make sure.
Was this a fan that emailed or was this a podcast?
No, a listener. I think it's a listener. Yeah.
What do we have to become? Anything? Doesn't matter.
It's the host is Max Static. Yeah, no kidding.
Are we just creaming off into the abyss?
I was just wondering how that got, you know, how that got marked dead. I didn't really understand.
Well, let me see if I can tell.
I think I might know what the issue is here. No. Okay. Well, hold on. Here, I'm going to give you the RSS feed in the boardroom.
In Signal.
Yeah, the boardroom. Let the boardroom enjoy it. So I see it has Friday, September 11th. It has a proper last build date, but I look at the index. I restored it, and the most recent episode is December 31st, 1969. I don't know why. Is that a
okay?
Is that somehow a It declares the namespace, this feed. I'm not sure why it's...
What's the host? Our hosting company.
His own hosting company, bbts.d4rk.army/podcast.rss.
Weird. Okay.
Generator, Faircamp 1.7.0, unknown revision. Boo-hoo. Anyway,
Dark Army.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you gave me the answer. I don't know when this was.
Did I?
Well, you did. You said you haven't run anything, so I'm going to take that to be.
Did you mark it legit or was it?
Yeah, I marked it legit and it restored.
But so where, When you first got in there, was it marked as spam?
It was marked dead. It's hard to see if it's marked spam because it just has the three buttons there. I don't know where you, I don't know. You can mark it legit it or call it spam.
Where it says, do you see it in the dashboard right now?
No, but I can.
Well, it says it's got a little legit badge next to it. It would have said, it would have had a spam badge next to it if it had been marked, if it had been marked as, if it had been killed because of a spam calls.
Well,
if it didn't have that, it was just automatically killed because something was wrong with the feed, maybe.
Okay. Well, I didn't see the little flag anywhere, though. I see it now. I marked it legit, so that's why it says legit now, but it's right. A dead yes. So I don't know. I don't know.
It has no.
It still has a problem with the episode.
There are no date. There are no dates. There's no pub dates in any of these items.
Okay. So it could have been delisted because of that.
This is a very screwed up feed.
Yes. I agree. That's what I saw that too. Yeah. And I didn't want to just distract too much. Okay. So nowhere in the process are we running that currently. Good.
No, I'm not doing anything automated currently. Now, the Swedish Trickler, he is going in and hand coding some stuff. He's doing some curation.
Oh, okay. Good.
But I mean, he's one man.
Yes. Just a lonely man.
He's just a man. From Sweden. He can't be, he's just the home of doom metal. There's no way he could possibly be killing hundreds of feeds a day. So I don't think so.
Okay.
At least.
All right. Okay. So back to your identity table.
Yeah. So
what's the status? Where are you at? Are you close?
So where it's at currently is I've just run the initial phase four stuff to rewrite So the database is handled, the exporters are handled, and the ingestion pipeline is handled. What the next phase is the actual API endpoints that deliver the content itself. And that is the part that scares me the most. And so this is going to take a while of, I don't know, a week or so, I feel like. And it's going to be a little bit at a time with a lot of testing. And that is another reason that I've become so dependent for this project on the AI stuff, because I need to know for a fact that when it rewrites an API endpoint, that the previous content and the new content are byte identical. I can't afford to have any nasty surprises.
Right. Got it.
So there's a ton, it's been writing a ton of integration tests to do pre-post checking on it. I had it spin up a dev environment, which I've never had before. You know me, I've always live edited the production.
That's where I learned it from.
I learned it from you, okay?
By watching you.
And so, I'm the guy that's just like jumps into PHP Storm, makes an edit in the PHP and does deploy.
Save.
Yeah, exactly. Control S. And so, actually having a dev environment and unit tests and that kind of thing, it has made me feel like I'm in a warm, fuzzy blanket.
Right. And you're using your agent for this, which is your Pi agent on the RTX box?
I was using the Pi agent to do, what I was doing was using Claude, using the Fable model
Expensive.
Well, see, I was using the Fable model to write the plan and then having Pi do all the execution. And what I figured out is really it's not that necessary, because when Claude does, the expensive part is the planning, But when once that part is done, like pretty much any model on the planet can run.
Can do it. So once you have, do the plan with Fable and then you switch over to Quinn.
Yeah. And the Quinn was just, Quinn 3.0 was just so slow that I was like, well, I'll just let Claude run it. And it's not even using very much usage. So I just let it stay on there. So I'm using the Quinn model for the, post-checking. So it's monitoring and telling me I've got a batch of podcasts that is monitoring on the API and telling me when I make a change, if I get an alert, it's going to let me know that something changed. And it's also watching, the logs over Tailscale. So I'm just so nervous about this that I'm trying to have as many agentic eyeballs on it as I can.
You're anthropomorphizing it. It has no eyeballs.
It does not. Yes, that's right. Quinn 3.8 27B. That's right, Eric. And I have found that because of this project, and because it has sucked me into a particular way of doing things, that it's just, I'm now, I think there's a lot going on because I just was never a unit test guy because it takes so long. And every project that I'm involved in requires go fast, go fast, go fast. I mean, I cannot sit there and write. When you only get an hour a day to code, you can't spend the whole hour writing two unit tests.
No.
I mean, it's going to take you 3 weeks before you can ever even write the real function. And that's the issue that I'm running into. And it's forcing me into a new way of doing things.
And
I know it is for other people,
and you're enjoying it. I know you're enjoying it. I can tell you're enjoying it. I know you are. You're liking it. You figured it out. I know you have. Say it.
Say it. Yes. I like the ability that it has given me that I did not have before of being able to properly test things, because I was always YOLO guy because of speed. I needed to just get this thing off my checklist so I could move to the next thing. And I can confidently say that I would have just never done this project.
Right.
I just never would have.
I think YOLO guy is a potential show title.
YOLO guy is fun to be around, but nobody wants him on their staff.
But you don't buy drugs from him, okay?
No, you don't buy your drugs from him, and you also don't want him running your podcast index. No. So,
well, but just look at you, man. You're running Omachi. You're YOLOing. You're using agentic coding. I have corrupted you. I am so proud of myself.
I mean, if I keep going in this direction,
Good job, Adam. You've brought him to the dark side.
At this rate, I'll be writing Ruby by the end of the year. Yeah. Which nobody wants.
No.
Nobody wants this. So we're getting there. It's just a slow process by design, because now I may not be writing this code, but you better believe I'm looking at every line of it, because I don't trust any of it. And it has already caught critical mistakes, like more than one. But there's been many times where I've said, where something just gave me pause, and I said, okay, I need you to check this. I want a test suite specifically for this and this and this.
Yeah.
It ran off and ran the test code for, 20 minutes or so, and it came back and it was like, critical bug.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've seen this.
And this is why I think experience of system design, and even if you're not a good coder, as long as you understand system architecture and the way things are supposed to operate, you can properly handle these things, because there's something gives you a spidey sense that, I don't think something about this doesn't feel correct. Mm-hmm. And that's something that a person without the experience would not feel.
No, you need it, because these things go off the rails all the time. And I'm like, no, but I don't think you need to do it. Oh, you're right. Oh, it was in my memory file. Let me just check that. Yeah, okay. Yes, my bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you have to understand what you're doing.
I'm not writing it in Rust. It's staying in PHP. It's staying in PHP for... And one reason it's staying in PHP is because, if there's one language that I am actually good at, is PHP.
Now just let's just take the jump here. So this will somehow integrate with our Podpain cloud, our cloud of bathroom running nodes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And that will be, there's a whole long list of things that to come after this, but this is the critical one. Then once we get this thing out of the way,
then the whole thing is going to be decentralized, hash space, and we can retire. I am so looking forward to this day.
and then we'll start figuring out how to ship it. How to ship the database.
Oh, this is going to be so cool. I mean, I can't believe I'm excited about this, but it's going to be cool. Ship the database. Love that.
What I want is for everybody to have some kind of dashboard or something running at all the time. Everybody who's got an interest in this project, I want them to all be able to just have some sort of interface where they're seeing what is happening in the internals of the index at all times. And any trusted admin of the index can get in and process a merge queue candidate.
Isn't it amazing that this is the stuff that you're working on, that we're discussing, that the boardroom is doing, that this project is doing, value for value, by the way. And meanwhile, in New York, everyone's arriving for podcast movement. They're going to talk for 3 days about what is a play.
what is a play?
Isn't that amazing? I just find that amazing. You know, all the people making money over there talking about what's a play, and we are building the future of the. You know, I was talking with Tina today. She says,
"What is a play?"
She said, "What is a play?" Because you know, there's transitions in my life, and things are changing, and things are happening. And my co-host died, so things are changing.
Yep.
And we're just talking about stuff. She says, why do you do podcasting 2.0?
Valid question.
Valid question. You may have received this question yourself. Yep. And I said, and I didn't even have to think too long about it. It says, because it is a critical part of who I am and what I do. Because without this, my entire existence could be in jeopardy. Imagine I have to go suck up to Spotify and Apple and Google and everybody to get my stuff out. And it's also, it's even the little things, you know, it's like the funding tag, it's the chapters, it's the transcripts, all the things that we've worked on. And then I followed up by, but you think that's bad. You should look at what Dave's doing for this thing. Just, you make no money from it. I said, no, but that's not the point. It is fundamental, and I would say for both of us, to who we are and what we do.
Yes. And my wife asks me the same question, and I ask myself the same question all the time.
Does it usually come when the Amex bill arrives? That's when I usually get this question.
It usually comes when the house is super dirty, and she's and I'm like, I got to just give me 1 minute. I've got to finish this
I'll be right there. Oh no, man. I've learned this. This is not good. You just got to freeze that thing. Freeze. Just walk away.
So Yeah, no, I agree. It's become
it's part
of your DNA.
It's just part of my DNA.
It is.
Yes, Charlie. It is. I feel it in my DNA.
Well, I need to find that clip.
A lot of things in the podcast world now depend on the index.
Yes.
It's not just a hobby.
Here we go.
Tell me about the sexuality. It's in your DNA.
Yeah. Well, should we talk about the latest integration of the index into a product that has a couple of people who use it?
I don't know where you're going.
120 million users of an app.
Man, you got me.
Starts with a V. Wow.
I'm having a brain fart, I guess. I feel like I should know this.
Okay, one word.
Can we talk about that? I don't know if we can talk about it.
Why not? Is it super secret? I don't think it's super secret. No one said don't talk about it.
Well, I don't know. Let me look at the email. did they say don't talk about it?
It's under embargo. We've signed an NDA about our DNA.
They don't say don't talk about it. But, I mean, it's up to you. It's your discretion.
At my discretion, thank you. That's what we say when landing. Do you think I can land this plane? At your discretion.
We hope.
Yeah. No, we got a nice email, very nice email, real developer dudes, because they're like, hey, man, we'd really like to build in the index into our product, but we don't want to swamp you. What do we do? And so we came up with some caching discussions, etc. And I think it's just phenomenal that VLC is looking to integrate the index into their product. That's just amazing.
This is why... this is why it's not just some sort of hobby or like something that I can ignore.
Yeah, this is soup. This is important. This is like really, this is amazing stuff.
Yeah, it has to, I mean, the more things start to depend on the index, the more, we don't have Apple money or Spotify money or something like that. We'll never have, you know, 27 nines uptime or whatever that is, but we can have a reliable, stable product that people can depend on.
Yeah.
That is possible. That's very possible.
And I was thinking, you know, will they put somewhere on in the site or somewhere on their app, like, hey, you know, this podcast is from the podcast index, value for value, consider supporting them for this wonderful service.
I hope so.
They're free, aren't they? I don't think there's a... let me see, some help about...
I think it's donation supported.
It should be. Let me see. A boot. Free and open source media. Play in the corner. Help and join us. Okay. What happens when I click help and join us? And they give me a little website, how to contribute. They're a nonprofit organization. Oh, they're hardcore.
Oh, good. See, and this, I love stuff like this. I love when groups like this, open source groups and nonprofits, that kind of thing, can use the index, because I know it really makes a big impact on their bottom line.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a big deal for me, because we've had Zoom meetings with like Mozilla and stuff like that in the past.
Yeah.
I like helping these kind of guys out, because they're clearly not in it for the money.
Well, I don't know. They may be doing very well. I mean, this is an interesting group of people. President Jean-Baptiste Kempf, Vice President Konstantin Pavlov. Hey, these are foreigners, man. Vice President of Events, Vib Huti. Treasurer Thomas Gulim. Secretary Felix Paul Kuhne. I got to check it out. Let me see. Let me see. Form 990. Let's see how much money they have. Video land.
I bet it's not a ton.
You don't know. Yeah, you don't know. 120 million people using it. That's
how many of those actually donate?
Well, 1% would be quite good. Let me see. Find the robot. Find the Form 990 for the nonprofit Videoland. Let's see. I love doing this stuff. Okay. Choice A. Oh, Form 990 does not exist. Oh, they're not a U.S. registered. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Oh, they are French. They are French.
Oh, Benjamin Bellamy can go. He can walk over to their office and
say, "Show me your papers."
He can tap on the door.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they must be not a. Isn't the European parlance for that a public interest corporation?
Well, they say on their website they are a non-profit organization based in France. There you go, based in France. Okay, but I don't know. Fine. Do they have
the French typically?
Yeah, they get government money.
So I was going to say that. from my experience in this project, the French typically either love us or hate us, and so Benjamin loves us.
Yeah,
but what was that group that we tried to deal with Bitcoin stuff, and they were like, "Nah."
Which one? That was the French guys. That was the other French guys. What is the Lightning app? That's what it was. The Lightning app. French, come on, boardroom. The French Lightning app.
Wasn't it ACINQ? Wasn't that the name?
Something like that. Yeah. Oh, that guy was arrogant. I know. Oxymoron. Yeah.
Async Lightning node.
It wasn't async. It was something else. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, whatever that. It was.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So
you can do whatever you want in America. We do. That's how I remember the conversation.
Pretty much.
Yeah. What was the name of that? Now you've got me. You've got me guessing. It was French Bitcoin Lightning app. Come on, robot. No, it was ACINQ, async. Yes, yeah, you're right.
Phoenix Wallet? Was that the
name? No, I think async. What I think? Oh yeah, Phoenix Wallet. You're right. Yeah, Phoenix Wallet. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was right. That was way back at the beginning of all the V4V stuff.
Yeah. Same time Jack Mahler's went. Yeah. Okay. No.
Right. Yeah. So that'll be great. I hope, you know, I want to work with those guys and, you know, give them what they need so that we can. And I really think I'm appreciative anytime somebody reaches out to us and says, "Hey, we're about to bring a whole bunch of potential traffic to you.
We don't want to crush you. How do we work with you?" I've been thinking about 120 million users, and I know a lot of people. Because whenever I screw up something with the ID3 tags or like don't put the right image into the MP3 file, the VLC users come out. "Hey, man, but listen to this on VLC."
Yeah.
So who knows what kind. They may be putting a full-blown podcast client in it. Think about what difference that would make in the world of podcasting.
Does Omarchi have a VLC in it?
Well, let's try VLC. Yeah. I don't know.
Or is it called Videoland?
I just do a super space and then type VLC. Don't you know how to launch apps, Dave?
Super space.
Then type in VLC.
There is no VLC.
Oh, I must have installed it myself.
You have it on yours?
Yeah, I must have installed it myself. I use it all the time.
Well, how do I? I guess I need to do here. Here's what I'm going to do. Super enter to get a terminal.
Yeah. Pac-Man.
Pac-Man S.
Dash S, uppercase S, VLC. VLC.
Enter. Sudo, make me a sandwich.
Sudo.
Oh, goodness gracious. I got a lot of things here. Yes. Okay. All right.
Boom. Installed. It's done.
Yep.
There's no step three.
I just want to see what their current podcast situation is.
Oh, I don't think they have any podcast situation going on.
playback, audio, video, tools. Yeah, I don't see anything. Program guide. What is that? That's nothing.
What, MVLC? No, there's nothing in there yet.
Yeah, there's nothing in there.
No, they're building it. Next release.
Next release.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, that's a thing.
Let's thank some people now that we have given you the longest intro to Value for Value, because if you're listening to a podcast, if you listen to this podcast on VLC, consider supporting the Podcast Index. It's part of our DNA, and we'd love you to support that. Not for our DNA, not for our pocketbook, so this thing keeps rolling forever. We are, in fact, volunteers, right? Yeah, we're not employees. We don't make any money off of it. We love doing it because it's part of who we are. And you can support us through PayPal. Go to podcastindex.org, and down at the bottom, there's a red donate button. Or in your modern podcast app, maybe there's a funding button, or sometimes it's a dollar sign. Sometimes it's a piggy bank. There's all kinds of different iconography. Click on that. That'll take you to the same place. You can also send us a boost, and the boosts have been restored on my machine here. So here's what came in from Dreb Scott, 1234. He says, serpentine belt. Serpentine? 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 Yeah. Almost done. If I can get the belt and tensioner to cooperate. Hashtag truck talk.
Nice. Do it. You may have to make a custom tool. Those serpentine belt tensioners are hard to get to.
7777 from Martin Lindeskog. Adam. Talking of AI robots and Beltway politics, are you looking forward to RoboCop to be announced on Amazon Prime Video? Harp music? Oh, I think I might have potted that down. Sorry. You did. Your earlier boost came in. Or the Salty Crayons 777 came in. And, oh, by the way, Dave, keep your book tips coming. Yes, these are highly, highly respected and appreciated. Salty Crayon 777, listening to Godcasting on a modern podcast app is like JSONs for Jesus. In the spirit, he says. Thank you. Variation of in the pipe. 1235 from Dreb Scott. My truck just tried to eat me. Shocks holding my hood must slowly be giving out. Hashtag truck talk for Dave.
Yeah, you need... Pro tip, get a broom handle and cut it off and then stick it in the side of the compartment of or either under your seat or in the trunk or something. That way, when you open the hood, prop that thing up.
With the broom handle. Oh, I see. Oh, okay. The hood. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Wanted to slam on his head.
Oh, that's no good. Dreb Scott again, 1234, use the combination of Grok and YouTube to work on swapping out my alternator. Hopefully I don't die. Hashtag truck talk for Dave.
This is all truck talk. This is wonderful.
Yeah. It sounds like we have a new podcast. Now you got your Roadcaster hooked up to Omachi.
By the way, Kevin Finn texted me the other day and said, I'm dying to hear where you were going with your timing. With your time ignition timing metaphor in the Model T Ford.
Maybe we should just go for truck talk. I mean, we should just do, and that'd be a value for value. No, we'll do ads. We'll do ads.
Yes. Okay. No. Post show. You gotta subscribe to Podcast 2.0 Plus to get post show.
You gotta get the premium package, and we'll do video. Mm-hmm. We'll do video.
Oh yeah, totally.
Video. Gotta do video on YouTube.
Riverside.
Riverside, which turns out is made by Jews. Oh no.
Oh yeah, Bronson.
Oh no, I can't believe it. People should immediately shut down your account.
Bronson, like, this is clearly Jew.
Martin Lindskog, there he is, 1776. Here's another Liberty Booster Gram. Excuse me. 1776 Satoshis, freedom of expression. Boostmebuddy.com user. No other name there. 333. Thank you. Another Martin Lindskog, Liberty Boost. Oh, he has a little Statue of Liberty icon. How nice. Boost for the citizens in New York City. Never forget. Best premises. Martin Lindskog, Lyceum. Dreb Scott, 1234, replacing the alternator on my 2008 F-150 while listening live. Hashtag truck talk for Dave.
There we go.
I'm telling you. And he also sent a test boost, 1234. Wow, there's a 500 sat boost for Curry and the Keeper. What is that? How did that happen?
That's random.
Yeah, okay. And that's all I got. There may be more, but I got my node was down again for a day. Hello. Yeah.
I got some PayPals.
Okay.
We got Steven Santoni, $0.20 $25. He said chipping in.
Nope, thank you. Chipping in. Boom. Ow.
Boost.
There we go.
You okay? Did you trip over the piano?
I did.
Ralph Estep, $50.
Woo, nice.
Thank you, Ralph Estep. Yes.
We have the boosts.
Yeah, there we go.
Martin Lindeskog, $1. Thank you, Martin. Brendan Mulligan, that's a Boys and Girls of Pod page.
Yes.
$25. Joseph Maraca, nice. $5. Nicholas Fett, $1. Mitchell Downey, $50. Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you.
Boost, boost, boost.
And another one from Mitch, $10. That first one was the Podverse.
Yes, Boys this and is Mitch Personal. Yes.
Boost!
Lauren Ball, $24.20. Nice. Christopher Harabarek, $10. Damon Kasajak, $15. Thank you. Terry Keller, $5. And the Salty Sessions Show, $10. Ooh, no message.
Salty Sessions. Yeah, Salty Sessions. I think that's... Now also on Sundays, I think, Salty Sessions, before No Agenda, early in the morning, I believe. I'm not sure.
That's on the stream.
Yeah, on the stream. Yeah, things are moving around. It's beautiful.
Let's see. We've got, what you got something?
No.
We got 58 sats from boostmebitch.com.
I get boosts whenever there's a boost nearby.
I keep forgetting to do that. You know, I listened to This Week in Bitcoin. I was like, I got to use those jingles more.
Boostagram.
Yeah, I use them more.
Bully Steed and Fountain sent us 929 sats. He says, I came for Podcasting 2.0 and stayed for the Dave Sagecast and book recommendations.
And truck talk.
Dreb through Castomatic sent a 716 sat test boost.
Ooh, nice. Thank you.
We got you, Dreb. Let's see. I think you read these. We got some anonymous. Yeah. Yeah, I think we got all these. And we got Comic Strip Blogger.
Yes.
The Delimiter. 11,111 sats. By the way, have you seen how complete and thorough my new extraction of all the boosts and PayPals is? This is smooth as silk.
I've noticed it. Yes, it is. Yes. It feels very smooth. What are you using? What did you vibe code?
Something that I don't even understand it.
But it works.
It goes into the, it reaches into the heart of the Albi hub.
Oh, wow.
And rips out the boost and puts them in an HTML file for me.
That's awesome. Yeah. The world is changing, brother.
I will say that I've never seen an industry change as so fast.
Yeah.
As coding.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It went from all hand code to all AI code.
I remember I went in
3 months.
I went from copy pasting in Gemini. Remember I was doing that?
And Grok.
I started with Grok, then Gemini, and I'd say this doesn't work. If they do another version, I do select all, copy, then go to my editor, paste. And then you said, hey, man, you should try a CLI thing. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you were grumpy about that.
But then, once I figured it out, I never looked back. And now I'm doing the same to other people. I'm saying, hey, you should try Grokbot. Have you seen that, Grokbot?
Nope.
Dude, it is changing people's lives. I think it was part of the acquisition by XAI by what was the coding thing they bought?
Cursor,
yes. So it's you can run it on your computer. You run it on an app. It's the same thing, and it gives you a cloud computer, which you can actually see. You know, there's see the little cloud computer, a little desktop. Mm-hmm. And you can fire up little bots, and the whole idea is that you tell each bot to do something specific, scan for this or look for that or calculate this, and then you have a master botter, and the master botter checks everything else and is coordinating for you. It's like agents for dummies.
Nothing bad will happen from this.
Well, so Dana Brunetti, Hollywood producer, celebrated Hollywood producer from such famous movies such as Captain Phillips, House of Cards,
Fifty Shades of Grey. Shades of Grey was a Christian band.
The real moneymaker. And he's going to do the show with me on Sunday. Okay. He said, I want to do the show. Okay, come and do the show since you think you know everything, Hollywood man. And he's like, well, should I do clips? I said, okay, you can do two. You can go get Audacity and you can record stuff, or you can just use Grokbot and just give it a YouTube video link and say, give me the transcript, and then say, start here, end here, give me an MP3. And he within 5 minutes, he's like, oh my God, this is so easy. It's pretty cool.
Bad things are going to happen with this.
I don't know. Maybe.
This is how the internet fails.
I'm not so sure. I don't think so. People aren't really doing coding.
Well, that's the problem. People are doing stuff they don't understand. And on the backside of that Grokbot, it's hammering 50 websites to death.
It has guardrails. You don't even know. It has guardrails, man. What are you talking about?
Whatever. Yeah. Nothing that Elon Musk ever does has guardrails.
All right. Let's get to Comic Strip Blogger, the final CSB. Boostagram. Yes.
11,111 sats. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Thinking of you both on 9/11, I remember learning what happened as I was leaving the office. A work colleague had footage of the towers on his computer screen. Sending warm thoughts to you and your families. Yo, CSB, worth $15.40 when sent.
Wow, he didn't even promote a podcast.
I feel like that's heartfelt from CSB.
Yeah, oh, it is. Of course it is. He's a very sensitive guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He also offered to run a MCP server for the index.
Yes, well, but it requires
only under 27 different qualifiers and a binding contract.
It was pretty funny. I'm like, okay, CSB.
He said, I promise I will run your MCP server for you. Where should I send the DocuSign?
I love that guy. I love it. You know, again, no community is complete without Comic Strip Blogger. If you want your community to be fully rounded, you need CSB in it. And you are fortunate if you have him in your community. Fortunate.
I did his video podcast. You have not.
I'm going to. Yeah. Been a little busy. And I'm also trying to time it like
for maximum effect.
Exactly. All right, brother. What are you doing this weekend?
It's pretty busy. Yeah. I had my uncle passed away this past week.
Yeah, I'm funeral. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and we got a funeral and a birthday this weekend, so we get both sides of life.
Oh, yeah, it's like your partner dying and having a grandbaby 24 hours apart. Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
It seems to be the way of the world these days. The older you get, the more these things happen, I think.
It's been the way of the world since day one. Mm-hmm. And it's thank God that it's balanced in that way.
Yes. So funeral and that's it?
Funeral, birthday, and 1-year-old birthday, and then got some climbing and some other things to do.
Some
with
truck work? Any truck work? Any working on the rig, man? Are you working on your truck?
No. I'm doing crown molding Sunday. I would rather be working on the truck, believe me.
All right, everybody, it's in our DNA, and you're under NDA. That means we will be back next week with another episode of Podcasting 2.0, where we are creating the future, and you're here to enjoy the ride. See you then, everybody. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! You jack it on your own time.